Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll be joined by Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio coming up at 7:30. We'll get into all things Nashville Predators with him. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports talking all things NFL from 8 to 8:30 for his weekly visit. So looking forward to all that. In the meantime, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, one of the things that we'll discuss with Charles, the Cowboys deciding to retain Mike McCarthy as their head coach. I would call that move unexpected by Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, but they released a statement last night, and essentially it was a long way of saying that Jerry Jones still believes that the best path forward is with Mike McCarthy as the coach and building on the foundation of what they've done and three consecutive 12-win seasons and all those things. So Mike McCarthy staying with the Cowboys. Joe, before we get to how that affects the coaching market, what do you make of just purely that decision by Jerry Jones? Lots of people outraged by it. You know, I understand it, given what we've seen in the playoffs and then just the drubbing that he took the other day to the Packers. But what did you make of that decision by Jerry Jones to retain Mike McCarthy? Another mute from Joe. That's two today.
No, that's three today.
Is that three
today? Right? Man. I think that's three today. Man, I'm sorry. Two. It's the winter. Is it just two? Okay.
It's just two.
All right. I'm trying to. Well, I'm very disappointed in myself regardless. I was making an awesome point. Let me see if I can remember it. Yeah, I was very surprised. Very surprised that Jerry Jones is keeping him and his statement, you know. Part of his statement was, quote, Mike has the highest regular season winning percentage of any coach in Cowboys history.
Yeah.
And it's true because the Cowboys are the first team ever to win 12 games three straight years and never make a conference championship in that time. So, yeah. Now, of course, Mike McCarthy does have a ring. And so there's a more of this quote. Certainly, quote, certainly, Mike's career has demonstrated postseason success at a high level, and we have great confidence that can continue, end quote. So, yeah, I'm surprised, but you know what? We think of Jerry Jones as this just, constantly overreacting owner, but really, I mean, he has had coaches with long tenures that some people were surprised how long they were in the past, right? I mean, even the fact that, like, Dave Campo got, like, another day of work after that Hard Knocks, pretty amazing. That's some pretty significant patience there.
Jason Garrett was there forever. My goodness.
Yeah, exactly. So it was Jason Garrett 10 seasons, you know, and he did get to the he won the division three times, you know. He didn't do anything in the playoffs. 10 seasons, he won two playoff games. Again, that's still like double, you know, the Lions last 32 years, to put that in perspective. But yeah, you had 10 seasons of that. You know, you had four of Wade Phillips, four of Parcells. Campo got three freaking seasons, man. Campo went 15-33. Three seasons of that. I mean, that alone is pretty significant. So I think he wants stability. He probably doesn't like hearing how he's this meddling owner. But actually, in this case, I think he might have been better off meddling.
My favorite stat right now that's related to the Cowboys is they have three playoff wins in their history at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium, and the Green Bay Packers have three wins in their history at Jerry World, two of them against the Cowboys, one of them in the Super Bowl. It's my favorite stat.
Oh, that is a very good stat. I bet you love that stat. That's a good one.
It's pretty wild. So now, I mean, everybody, as soon as that game ended, on Sunday, Joe, everybody had penciled in Bill Belichick for the Cowboys job. I mean, he was the betting favorite to get it. We talked about that on Monday. Mike Vrabel was second. I think he was 3-1 odds. But everybody's like, oh, well, Belichick has apparently a good relationship with Jerry Jones. He's going to be the next Cowboys coach. That's that superstar head coach hire that Jerry Jones would be looking for. And now McCarthy's being retained by the Cowboys. It looks like Sirianni's going to keep his job in Philadelphia, and Mike Tomlin is keeping his job in Pittsburgh. So those three openings that we talked about, it looks like none of them could be happening at this point. So how does that affect the coaching market from either Bill Belichick to Mike Vrabel to maybe some of the offensive guys that the Titans could be looking for? How do we think the lack of opening for the Cowboys affects the rest of the coaching search that we could see?
Yeah, well, you could go through and I guess go favorites. I mean, I'm gonna go Harbaugh. I'm gonna stick with Harbaugh to the Chargers. I mean, I think that makes sense on both sides. And so you take that now. Of course, like you said, I think Belichick to the Cowboys absolutely made sense. And I thought that was part of the reason he would move on, not just to because he's just sick of McCarthy, but it's like, wow, could get Belichick right now. I guess I'd put him in Atlanta, right? I mean, Belichick's obviously interested in interviewing. It seems like it makes sense with Arthur Blank. So if you take those two known commodities, you know, and put them there, then we know the Pats is filled. So now you're left with, you know, the Seahawks, which is something that I do think could be variable. I think the Raiders is going to be over. That's going to be Pierce.
Yeah.
So all you've got left is the Seahawks, Commanders, Titans, and Panthers, right? If those two coaches go,
yeah,
where we sit, Seahawks, you know, so I mean, Ben Johnson's going to get one of them. I'm confident in saying that Ben Johnson's going to get one of them. Will Mike Vrabel get one of them? Of all those jobs, I mean, I think, you know, I would consider Vrabel, if he wants to get into this, if he doesn't want to just, you know, take a year, then I think the Seahawks and Commanders could potentially be possibilities for him. Which again, I mean, the Titans would badly want Vrabel to take one of these jobs.
Yes,
one,
they do.
One, to offset the money Amy Armstrong's about to be paying him to do nothing. And two, then you take up another spot and you get someone you want. You have a better chance of getting someone you want. Let's say he does take one of those jobs. And let's say Ben Johnson takes one of them too. You know, I think both of those things are realistic. Now it's you and one other franchise, if all of it plays out like I just said, for Callahan,
Slowick.
You know, Slowick. Brown, you know, people, you know, Jared's very angry about Thomas Brown. Jared won Jared versus Joe because he, you know, doesn't like to look at information. He just knows the Panthers sucked this year. So that was good.
They have standards around here.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes. Thank you. Well done. Well done. But there's a lot of possibilities, and all of a sudden you would be down to one other team competing with you for that array of candidates. So that's kind of a best case scenario I just laid out. But maybe Harbaugh doesn't get that job, and maybe it doesn't work out with Belichick. I mean, it's just it's very fluid, as they say, Robbie.
I mean, it's good news for the Titans, right? And bottom line, with McCarthy not getting fired, it's good news for the Titans because that's one more candidate. One more job opening that would have to be filled that has a trickle-down effect of the rest of the candidate pool. So with McCarthy retaining his job, like you said, like if things play out that way, especially if Harbaugh does go to the NFL, that's the other thing here. Like if Harbaugh leaves Michigan and he goes to the Chargers or wherever, takes up one of these jobs, well, that's yet another candidate that you're going to have available to you at your disposal there with him taking that job. So if you're a Titans fan, I think you're happy that Mike McCarthy retained his job in Dallas. And I think you're rooting like heck for Jim Harbaugh to be hired somewhere if it's not going to be you, which apparently it's not. So I'd be rooting for that. And then you kind of got you could have your pick after that. And look, you know, maybe the Titans really want to get in there on Ben Johnson too, and they become part of that sweepstakes.
Sure.
We'll have to wait and see in there. I do think Ben Johnson's going to have some really heavy interest here. But if Ben Johnson goes elsewhere and you really love Brian Callahan, which apparently they at least like Brian Callahan – I think all of this is good news, and Brian Callahan could be there for you if it plays out that way that you just described.
Exactly. And again, I'm a little, I gotta look this up. I keep talking about it and then I don't actually look it up. I'm a little puzzled by the Frank Smith lack of interest, because it just seems like it lines up for more teams to be interested in him. But that's another guy who, if the Titans don't think he belongs in their top 10, I think could certainly end up somewhere, you would think. I've definitely seen him requested with yes. some teams. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's another guy that I would consider one of the real prominent guys in the cycle. You know, someone asked in the text line about Eric Bieniemy. I haven't heard anything about Eric Bieniemy. So
no,
I don't know. I mean, obviously he got a lot of interviews, never got a job. It was an interesting move to go to the Commanders. Didn't really work out. I mean, they weren't good, but that's the problem, right? So I don't know. I mean, I assume he'll be an OC somewhere next year, but it kind of looks like the ship has sailed on him.
615-737-1025. Mike McCarthy retained by the Cowboys. How do you think that affects the coaching market? What do you make of where the Titans coaching search currently stands? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio coming up at 7:30. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be at home taking on Auburn. Tip off at 6:30, pregame beginning at 6:15. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio coming up at 7:30 to talk all things Nashville Predators. Discussing the Titans coaching search, JD from Brentwood, talking about Eric Bieniemy, says, everyone's suspicions were confirmed when Bieniemy left Andy's shadow. What if the same thing could be affecting Frank Smith? Teams don't buy that he's the brains behind the Miami operation. What do you think of that, Joe Rexrode?
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. And that's the thing. There is always that question, right? I mean, it's when you get into these searches, well, you know, we were talking about agents. I mean, agents are always going to, you know, push, you know, oh, he did so much. My guy did so much, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, the good stuff was all because of him. The bad stuff, none of it's his fault, right? But these teams really have to dig in on who did what exactly. And maybe Frank Smith's just like the hype man for Mike McDaniel. You know, I don't know. But it is interesting that, I mean, to me, again, the NFLPA stuff, I do put stock in it. Jared screamed about this yesterday. I don't give a crap what the players think. Again, the point is not, who is your buddy? Do you like him? Are you friends? It's like, do you think he's a good coach? Do you like playing for him? That's a lot more than just like, do you like someone personally? The fact that he came in number one to me tells me that he has had a pretty significant impact on their success, but I don't know. There's not a lot of interest in him. Someone asked about Dave Canales too, from the Bucks. And I think that we're going to see more about that, because I think he absolutely should be getting some love for the Bake Show.
Well, I mean, if things go the way you think they're going to go this weekend, then that's an NFC title game appearance for the Bake Show and Dave Canales. And maybe he gets into head coaching circles after that.
Yeah, maybe Dave Canales will start taking Ben Johnson's interviews. Like, sorry, sucker, have a seat. I mean, who knows?
If they get to the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback, the Cleveland fans are going to – it's just insufferable. Just insufferable.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's going to be very devastating. And you and Craig are wrong, by the way. I'm not talking crap about the Lions, the reverse psychology.
Whatever you need to say.
I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, you know, I'm acting and talking on decades of experience in life. Okay. So when the Bucks beat the Lions Sunday, the Lions fans are gonna be devastated, but the Browns fans are gonna be right there with them. And it's so fitting that those two fan bases would be in misery at a certain point, isn't it? I mean, it's very fitting.
It is. I mean, that the Deshaun Watson contract's looking real stellar right now. Looking real stellar.
To be fair to the Browns, now obviously they went way beyond anybody else and pissed off all the other owners, but there are other teams falling all over themselves on Deshaun Watson too. So that's part of why they went as ridiculous as they did.
So
but hey, no one wanted Lamar Jackson. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, really, really making a whole lot cool. of sense with that one.
So smart league.
We've discussed the Brian Callahan part of this. He's getting a second interview with the Titans, so that's his. You would think confirmation that they at least have liked what they've seen for Brian Callahan and heard from Brian Callahan to this point. There will be other second interviews coming up. And the thing to keep in mind is there have not been, like, if you're the Titans and you're interested in Bobby Slowick or you're interested in Ben Johnson, you've not been able to conduct in-person interviews yet. I think this week they are able to have virtual interviews with those guys. But again, those guys are still in the playoffs, so kind of revolves around their schedule. So, you know, Brian Callahan looks like the early leader in the clubhouse, and I'm not saying that he's not, but I just would, in, you know, the timing in all this is also important. The Bengals aren't playing, and the Lions and the Texans obviously still are. And assuming that there's interest from the Titans side on Slowick and Ben Johnson, which they've requested interviews for both those guys, so there's at least some level of interest. The timing of it is a factor here when it comes to the coaching search.
Exactly. So, yeah. So it's about to heat up for everyone. And, speaking of that, see, this is one of those interesting things where, you know, I've got to be, it's like with our thing last week, you know, with our Vrabel firing story with Diana and I, it's like, well, let's hold off. But Mike Sando has ranked, friend of the show, coworker of The Athletic, has ranked the openings.
Okay.
So at some point, it's interesting to get into that. Let me tell you. You know, I think that I'm just going to say this. I think Mike Sando hates whoever is quarterback in the Tennessee Titans. I think it doesn't matter. I just have to assume whoever quarterbacks the Tennessee Titans, Mike Sando hates them.
Well,
or people Mike Sando talks to don't like that quarterback, which is more viable. And maybe there's some of that here going on. And that's a huge part of this, too, for candidates. What do you think of Will Levis?
Well, no question about it. And look, you know, TD said yesterday that he thinks the Titans are second best opening, right? Like you get, I think the Chargers at one and then the Titans at two. Like it really is interesting to see like where people have the Titans when it comes down to the head coaching jobs. Cause we laid it out yesterday. There's a bunch of different ways you can view this with the, you know, Herbert and the contract that he has. You can view that as a really good thing, or you can view that as, wow, they're already paying the quarterback huge money. You know, the Commanders, you basically have your pick at the litter of the quarterback you can pick in the draft and the roster turnover and all those stuff, new ownership. Like, it's really interesting how people are viewing these jobs right now.
Yeah, Mike Sando doesn't exactly agree with TD. Let me just tell you that.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured.
And I almost feel like gun shy on this because we're a couple of freaking homers on WHMR in August. Like, oh, well, the Titans are going to be good. What are you idiots talking about in the NFL? But,
I'll just tell you, I don't think it's that bad. I do not have the Titans as the second best job. I can tell you that.
No, I don't either. I don't have them as low as Sando does. But look it. Well, I'm just going to read one line, okay?
Okay.
Don't get me in trouble.
I'm not going to get you in trouble.
I'm going to read one line. Quote. Okay, I'll just read three sentences. Quote, the Titans roster needs a reset. The franchise needs a quarterback. The rest of the division is pulling away, including in Houston. That's it, just it. There's no mention of Will. The franchise needs a quarterback.
Okay.
So, I mean, but again, some people think that. I think that's the whole key. Now, a point that I do agree with is absolutely, and this is a point that, remember all the questions we had for Vrabel when John Robinson got fired and how it looked around the NFL. What did it look like? It looked like Vrabel won a power play, right?
Yeah.
It's not true. And it's one of those things that, like, over time, you can, you know, it becomes clear that wasn't true. Well, so, I mean, absolutely, ownership is something that coaching candidates are looking at here. And that's a point he makes, and that's fair. It just is. Now, 32 owners, 32 jobs, all that stuff. But still, if it's a tiebreaker for Brian Callahan between, you know, the Titans and the Seahawks, well, right, that might do in the Titans and not let them get their best candidate.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I can tell you who is on the Robbie Stanley list of worst jobs available. I will award that to the Carolina Panthers with their owner. The worst job.
Yeah. I think most people would. And look, and with them, I don't think it's most of it's fair, but still, Bryce Young didn't look great. So there's more questions about him and what you're inheriting there, right?
Yep.
So between all that, I think that's an easy last for just about anybody who would do a list like this, you would think.
Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are on the road taking on UTEP. Pre-game beginning at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our friend Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio. We'll get into all things Nashville Predators with him as the Preds take on the LA Kings tonight. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. The Nashville Predators back in action tonight, taking on the LA Kings on the road. They're coming off a 4-1 loss to Vegas on Monday. And to help us talk more about that, we welcome in our friend Alex Doherty to the program from Penalty Box Radio. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little tired of not being out in the world because I'm stuck in my house with all this snow, but I'm all right.
Cabin fever. Rex Rhodes got it too. He's losing his mind.
I can relate. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm. And then now there's more coming, and so now I'm really, really not in a good place.
So, Alex, obviously a big one tonight for the Predators against the Kings. Overall, what do you make of where their game is right now? You know, you had the back-to-back set over the weekend where I thought they looked great against Dallas. They gutted one out against the Islanders. You know, the other night I thought they started the game well against Vegas but couldn't get anything going towards the middle of the ice. And then Mark Stone took over and you lose that game 4-1. So it kind of feels like it's been back and forth with the Predators for the last couple of weeks here. But overall, as you watch them play, where do you think their game is right now?
Yeah, I think that November hot streak they went on maybe was a little bit of fool's gold about what this team could be. And I mean, and that was fun and all. I mean, that was a pretty fun little couple weeks there. But this is probably more like what we all thought this Predators team would be, kind of a win a couple, lose a couple kind of all season. You know, not they're going to struggle to have consistency. I mean, it's gone a little differently than I think most people thought because, you know, I think we thought that UC Soros would be carrying them and they would struggle to score, whereas really it's been their top line has been unbelievable and Soros has been struggling to help them. But it's all the other players. It's all the young players, Evangelista, Tomasino, Parson, and Novak after his injury, Cody Glass. All these guys have been struggling to be consistent. The defense has been in disarray because of injuries and Tyson Berry and everything. So I think since the calendar turned to 2024, this is a little bit more like what I expected. They've won three, they've lost three since that. So that's kind of what I think is we're in for the rest of the year. And that may end up being a playoff caliber year because of how they did so well that little stretch. But, you know, it's not like they're really impressing anybody with the way that they're not taking over and saying, hey, we're back. This is just it's a year of growth.
Okay. So let's talk about goalie concern and goalie excitement. UC Soros, Yaroslav Askarov. What is the concern level and how does Askarov's play and Thomas play into it's a discussion we've been having around here for a while. I do wonder if the discussion's changing a little bit, or am I overreacting, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was it you that talked to Trotz about him wanting to extend Soros earlier in the year? I think that was you.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was surprising at the time. I remember thinking, really, you're willing to throw the money you're going to need to keep him in town, which is what, $8-9 million, for a 29-year-old, 30-year-old goalie. Yeah, I do wonder if that's changed because of Soros's year this year. And it would be one thing if he had the slow start to begin and then just kind of recovered, but he just can't seem to get up that hill. I mean, he just keeps slipping down. And I don't know if it's a youth thing. I don't think, the guy didn't forget how to play goalie overnight, but I know that the every time you go to practice and they're working with him, like the goalie coaches are, you know, they're taking video, they're going over, you know, his pad level, they're going over his lateral movement. They're they're working on it. You know, they're not just letting him do his own thing. Like they're it's kind of all hands on deck. Let's figure out what's going on. And we're 40 games in, or he's played 34 games, and it's not really getting anywhere. So on the Askarov front, you know, this is I think this is kind of what people thought Askarov would be. He would take a little bit to struggle to the North American game, and then once he's there, he would really flex his muscles. Now he's starting to get a little bit more technical savvy. He's always been a raw athlete, but now he's like kind of locked in over there. And yeah, I mean, if I was to make the choice about, if I was Barry Trotz and I had this choice of do we sign Soros or do we go with Askarov? To me, it was never really about signing Soros. I think it was about trading him to get what you can because Askarov is the next guy. But I mean, and now it's even more apparent. I mean, I think they've got to make that choice and look at dealing Soros to get some stuff next year. And then moving forward with Askarov next year. I mean, and that might even mean signing Lankin into another couple, 2-3 year deal to bridge the gap, but before Askarov can be the full time guy.
Alex Doherty with us here from Penalty Box Radio on Robbie and Rex. So, Alex, you mentioned the inconsistency of the young guys. Of the young guys, particularly at forward, who do you feel best about right now with the way that they play throughout the season?
So I assume we're talking about the really young guys. Like is Novak in that group? Would you say?
Because
he's like, you know,
I don't consider him in that group. But if some people do, and if you do, that's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider him in there because he's such a different animal. But anyways, he's not my answer. Anyways, I would say Evangelista. I like his. His growth has kind of come along. I still think he's not really like he's probably not quick enough. Like his first step's not quick enough. He doesn't have that separating speed to get him away. You know, he's no Liam Foudy out there. He doesn't have that kind of speed. But no one has the Liam Foudy speed.
That's right.
But Evangelista is I think he's showing some good things, and he's got some good skill with the puck, and I think he's growing towards where I've always kind of seen him as, like, if his ceiling is like a Craig Smith, 20 goals every year, I think you're doing fine. I think that's a good goal for him. If that's where he's at, he's a top six guy that you can rely on for 20 goals every year. That's perfect. You know, I think they would love that, and I think he's well on his way. So I'd say Evangelista is where I'm at with that.
Okay, what about Cody Glass? What's your Where do you think he is right now? I know a lot of fans are freaking out about him. It's been a rough go this year. Where do you think it goes from here with him?
Boy, I'm really not sure. I think there's a lot going on. I mean, I think his confidence is just completely gone. And he's a guy that's always been, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a very emotional guy. He really plays a lot on confidence, right? He plays a lot on knowing that he's contributing to the team, that his teammates are working well. I mean, it's just like, and he's a real popular guy in the locker room. I mean, everyone likes Cody Glass, but I think his just game is just nowhere right now. He doesn't have it at all. He doesn't have it at either end. And it's really a shame because he's such a great guy, but at the end of the day, like he's got to produce, he's got to do something. So the contract now is in kind of a bad situation because they're paying him $2.5 million and he's not even playing. And for the Predators to do that, I mean, they're an organization that is really willing to, if they're paying a guy, they're going to try to make him fit out there. And if they're not doing that, then they must know that his game is just nowhere close right now. Where does it go from here? I think he's got to get more games. He's only played 17 games this year. He's got to get more games. And he's got to have at least, like, you know, you've just got to get it. You've got to, it's kind of like the climbing up that hill, like I said with Soros earlier. You've got to at least just get up one little bit. You've got to inch up that hill just a little bit. Just find something that works. Get a little bit of confidence and get back out there. But it's going to be a long road back. And by the way, I don't think it's injury related. I don't think that the injuries have really hurt him that much. I think it's just like he didn't play enough. He kind of got passed up, and then now he got pushed down in the time on ice department, and he's struggling to get back out there. So it's not a good scene right now for Cody Glass, and it couldn't be happening to a worse player because he's such a great guy and everyone likes him. So we'll see where it goes.
Alex, last thing for you here. So it feels to me like the playoff picture, especially for teams in front of the Predators right now, is starting to settle in a little bit. Like at this point, Winnipeg, Colorado, and Dallas are all going to make it, barring some collapse. Vancouver, Vegas are all going to make it, without some sort of collapse. I feel good about the Kings, and Edmonton has come on really strong. And then you look at this grouping now with Nashville, Calgary, Seattle, and Arizona, and you could even throw in St. Louis in there if you wanted to. Preds have the second wild card spot right now at 49 points. Right behind them is Calgary and Seattle, both of which are at 47, Arizona at 45. How do you view this race right now with the Predators trying to hold off the teams behind them? And can the formula that they've had this year that you talked about with basically the O'Reilly line carrying them offensively, do you think that's enough to get them into the playoffs? Or are they going to have some guys that have not done so to this point step up and play to a level that we just haven't seen from them yet?
Yeah, if you look at those teams, it's a really strange race right now because, like you said, there's so much talent at the top, and then there's this weird middle where there's not a lot of teams separating. I do think that they could get there, and that's why I said earlier, like, they could go win two, lose two the rest of the season and probably be right there. And that's, like, you know, that's indicative of what they're up against, because Calgary, Seattle, Arizona, St. Louis, I feel like Nashville is just as good, if not better, than all those teams. And I don't think any of them have a better line than Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist. I mean, in fact, I can say confidently they don't. They don't have as good a line as that line. Now, what happens on nights like against Vegas where that line gets shut down? That's when they're going to struggle. But the other thing is, I still think Soros, you know, if he finds a little 10-game run where he gets three shutouts and he has a .960 save percentage, you know, that's going to separate him right there. So, like, that could happen. You could have a little hot streak from Tomasino or from Parsonen and then be enough right there. So I do think that their chances of making the playoffs as a wild card team are pretty good, especially given the competition. I mean, I just don't see Arizona, Seattle, Calgary, definitely not St. Louis or Minnesota as a real threat right now. So that leaves Nashville and Edmonton to duke it out for the two wild card spots. And I don't know, maybe one of those teams makes a run, but I don't see it right now. So I think they're in a pretty good spot in terms of trying to really get to the playoffs.
Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Alex, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Penalty Box Radio tonight at 7 o'clock, by the way.
That's right, 7 o'clock. Make sure you're tuned in for that. We'll take your thoughts right on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning. I'm fine. Feeling a little bit of cabin fever. A little bit like I'm at the Overlook Hotel, for anybody who knows that reference.
You like the snow?
No.
Why not? Can you say snow?
No.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joe, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Okay, what was the last thing from?
I don't know.
It's a meme.
Oh, it's a meme. Like, hello, here we go. Let's go. With the kid with the train.
Yes.
I'm learning so much from Nick Kieser.
There you go.
A lot of TikTok references.
And here we go. Okay. By the way, I'm not about to go all Jack Nicholson in The Shining for anybody who gets the Overlook reference. But really what I want to say today is, even on Monday, Caroline Fenton had a very nice tweet like thanking Nick and all of our other producers for braving the elements for coming in to the studio. That was several days ago, and Robbie and I continue to sit in our homes and do the show. I just want people to know we're not soft. I swear we're not soft. I've thought about this. I don't know where everybody lives, but I am fairly confident in saying that Robbie and I are the two people who are the most challenged to get to roads that might be touched by shovels or anything at this
point.
Pretty
confident.
We live in the freaking boondocks, okay? Different boondocks. Robbie, northeast of the city. Me, southeast of the city. John Glennon once picked me up for a work trip. I don't remember if we worked at the Tennessean at the time or the Athletic together, but he was talking about how basically you have to, like, drive through chickens and goats to get to my house, which is true. Like, there are roads that I take every single day. I mean, it's not quite true. It's not like the – what, you know, it's not quite the – what's the movie with what's his name? Is Nice – Cape of Wizard, come on, you know.
You're asking the wrong guy, buddy.
Borat.
Come on. Thank you. Yeah, it's not Borat's hometown.
That was your
it's...
Borat impersonation?
That was bad. I'm sorry.
Very nice.
That was bad. Yeah, that's very nice. Okay. It's been a while, man. It's been a while, okay?
All right.
So it's not quite that, but there are one time we took an Uber home from downtown Nashville and went to a concert or something. And, of course, we were smart and Ubered. And the Uber driver, like, slammed on the brakes because there are two roads here that are right, absolute right turns, complete 90-degree angles with no stop signs. Like, and a tiny, you know how some of these roads are. I'm just trying to say we're not soft. I think everybody else probably has, maybe I'm wrong, but a little bit better access to, like, the main highways and stuff. And so Robbie and I are home all week, and I kind of feel bad about it, but also at the same time, I want to defend our honor because, you know, I think we show up at stuff, yeah, and we do stuff. And this week we're just in jammies all week.
We're in jammies all
week.
Sorry. I live on top of a ridge. So there is that, which I gotta be honest with you. I'm not excited about the idea of potential ice and or sleet coming in the fold today. I've had enough of that this week. So, ugh. I mean, I have ventured out this week around, like, the neighborhood and gone to places. And yesterday I'm riding along, and next to me, somebody's trying to make a turn, and they just slide right off the road into the ditch. And it's like, well, all right, now they got themselves out, but people still slide around a little bit out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have been out some, cause you know, you can get, that's the thing. I mean, really, if I wanted to do like a 45, 50 minute drive to work, I actually could do it. Now that I'm talking through this, it is kind of soft to me because I could go like Nolensville Pike. I can get to that, but it's just to get to the highway, it's like straight up goats and chickens.
Yeah.
So, I'm still not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
I'm not going to do it.
We'll see you Tuesday. The problem is it's not going to start melting until Monday.
That's the thing. Like, you know, I thought today was going to be our day, you know, back on Monday when all this, we were looking at the forecast. I thought today was going to be the day where it got above freezing and maybe a little rain came in and washed it out. And now they're talking about freezing rain and snow and sleet and ice. And I'm like, oh, so we're just going to, stay for, because then tomorrow, you know, it gets freezing again. So yeah. We're just going to stay in this cycle all weekend long, huh? It's going to be fun.
I've never seen anything like it. I know that our schools, they finally called them yesterday again for another day. And as of now, technically, like, we don't know for tomorrow, but I mean, I'll go ahead and call a shot. They're not going to be going to school tomorrow. And I don't think Monday either. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be until the things start to finally melt Monday, which is, I mean, I haven't experienced that here in 8 years.
I will say, though, I'm going to Orlando next week, and I looked at the extended forecast, and it's going to be 80 degrees when I get there, and I'm very, very much excited about that.
That's fantastic. That's great. I was just there, and it was for the Vols, for Nico Palooza, and it was like 58 for highs. God, good for you, man.
So it's amazing to me, and I think this is a good illustration. You know, look, people move here all the time, right? Like, people are moving from Wisconsin and Michigan and California and all over the place. And you move in some part to get away from all this weather crap. And I do have some friends that are here from Wisconsin, and they were texting me the other day, like, what is this? Like, I thought this didn't happen here. What is this? I'm like, it really doesn't. Like, this only happens, what, once every few years? But we're in that cycle right now.
That you have that much accumulation, and then that you have that many days of it not being above freezing. Yeah,
that hardly ever happens.
It's a major rarity. And, so they also know the difference up there is, like, the salt truck. Like, this stuff's taken care of in half a day. And then, all right, back to everything. All the roads are fine. And, you know, there's no reason to invest that kind of equipment here because that happens every it's years apart. So. Yeah. Here we are, soft.
Chuck says, Robbie with the Orlando flex. That's just harsh, dude. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come across harsh. It's a reality of what's happening.
I'm excited for you.
All right, one other thing.
It'll be in the 60s here next week, so
yeah,
we'll
be good.
We'll be fine.
Really quickly, one really small comment that really has ticked me off, to be honest, really fast. Please clean the snow off the top of your car. Golly, oh, yeah. I've come in every day. I don't want to see it. Please take the time to do that. It's ridiculous. Like, yes, it doesn't happen every few years. Please take off the snow on the top of your car. It's atrocious.
I did get behind somebody yesterday, and it was just flying off the top. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, please don't let this be ice, because if it flies off and breaks my window, if I survive, I'm going to go wreck them, like NASCAR style.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. That would have been a better rant. It should have just been a Keezer rant about that. See, I mean, you're the one who's going in the studio every day.
Exactly. So you're really soft, Joe Rexroad. Look, I love y'all. Y'all are great, but I do wish I had some more company here this week. But that's okay. I can live with it. I can use a break from y'all. Everybody does at some point.
Jeez. There we go.
I'd be offended, but I get it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I mean, I thought your break was like when you don't listen to us on our show.
No.
You take breaks already.
I hear everything.
Okay. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us coming up next for the next 30 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans coaching search and all things NFL heading into the divisional weekend as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.